seek first the kingdom of God and right relationship with God, then all the other things will just kind of fit in the right order and proportion, and it'll work out just right. If you aim for God, your life will have a different kind of effect and meaning. Last week, we talked about the parable of the mustard seed, how small and insignificant and perceived as dead can turn out to be something large and meaningful and alive. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the miraculous abundance that comes from the seed, which is God's word for us about the kingdom of God, when it's planted in good soil. And when it's planted in good soil at just the right time, it's far better than any normal planting. That the kingdom of God includes this miraculous abundance of fruits when it's planted in good soil. It almost is to the point where you can tell, we're getting enough guidelines to tell, all right, that's close and that's not in it at all. And maybe that's the best we can do is, this is the wrong way, this is the right way. Keep walking the right way. The short parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value deal with joy and happiness. All right, so if there's something you're going to remember from today's sermon, joy and happiness ought to be one of those things. If you have to take notes so you can remember things 5 minutes from now, write down joy. Sometimes I forget before the end of the sentence what I was supposed to write down, so just one word, just remember joy. The interesting thing is that while these stories seem to have the same point, that the kingdom is worth more than anything else a person might possess, and it's an incredible sense of joy, so joy and great value, the parables differ on an important point, and I have missed this many times. One, you happen upon it, and the other searches for it. Some of us search for the kingdom, and others, it falls into their lap. Have you noticed that? And God doesn't differentiate. However you come to the kingdom, whatever it takes for you to live a transformed life, that's what we're talking about. And it is worth everything you have. Here's a parable that fits the widow's mite. It's a parable that reminds us of the teaching of Jesus about the rich young ruler who comes and is trying to obey all the commandments, right? And Jesus says, yeah, you just have one more thing you need to do. And what Jesus is saying is, you need to put the right priorities in place for you. Give away everything you have and come follow me. And he goes away depressed. That's this kind of, it's worth everything we have. Luckily, God doesn't ask all of us to give away everything we have. And my point in that is, listen to what God is asking you to do. Do that, you'll find joy. When you find joy, you're in the kingdom. There isn't, in this parable, these two parables, anything that really focuses in on what we give up, unlike the rich young ruler. In this one, it is whatever, it's worth it. It's worth everything. There's no talk of sacrifice. There's no talk about giving up something. Only talk of joy and value. So seek joy. And there's a hint. It's not in stuff or in money, because those are the things you trade in order to get joy. That lesson we need to hear about every week, right? In our culture, in our worldview, where we live in this century, in this country, trading in stuff for joy does not, it seems like collecting stuff, collecting money is what is the our culture says is going to bring us joy. And scripture here, Jesus says, and I'm glad Jesus said it, because otherwise we'd wander that lost path a long time. Has anybody found all their joy in stuff and money? They probably wouldn't be in church, would they? I may be asking the wrong audience. Have you found joy in giving something away? Have you ever given away something that you prized and felt this great sense of joy? Huh. 3 weeks ago, I was off, and so Joyce Alexander preached, and she preached about joy. So today is when we're going to have our quiz on that sermon. Were you here? Raise your hand if you were here. Can anybody remember the main points of her sermon? It's all right. Every time. It feels like before the end of the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, most folks have. Anybody? Generosity was one of them. Gratitude. Changing your perspective. Anybody else? All right, so here's what I got. I'm going to do a refresher before the quiz. Are you ready? Acceptance. Forgiveness. Compassion. A viewpoint of abundance. There are a lot of folks in the world who can only think about what's missing. They keep their eye on the missing part or the sense of scarcity. There's not enough. If I don't keep enough, if I don't collect as much food as I can or as much money as I can, then I'm not going to survive. And that sense of hoarding, that sense of scarcity sometimes robs other folks. Sometimes we do that just for the sake of profit because it turns out you can charge more if you have all of it. Abundance viewpoint, gratitude, serving was on her list. Have you found a place where you serve that gives you great joy? This is yes, this is no, you are awake. And she also included humility. All of those things resonate with the teachings of Jesus. The only thing she mentioned that I have not found yet in the teachings of Jesus was sense of humor. And I agree with her, but Jesus never said, you need to laugh. At least we didn't put it in the book. Jesus may have said, we need to laugh. Have you had a good laugh lately? If you haven't, if you'll look on YouTube for Tim Conway Elephant Story from the Carol Burnett show, a 50-year-old piece of television that is still one of the funniest things that you just can't help. Sense of humor puts us in a different place. Do you know somebody who's living in that place of joy? This is yes, this is no. Any idea how they got there? Different folks get to that sense of joy different ways. Some folks stumble upon it, and other folks have to concentrate and aim for it and search for it. In the midst of grief, you have got to be on the lookout for joy. It appears if you're looking for it. But in the midst of grief, if you're not on the lookout for joy, you're inclined to miss it. If I could remember the name of the movie my aunt said to watch, Collateral Beauty. A few years ago, it was a movie about a number of folks in different life situations, and essentially it's be on the lookout for those beautiful moments that just seem to happen, that you can't manufacture, they just happen. And if you look for them, life is still okay. I wonder, as you think about somebody who is living a life that has a bit of joy in it, how did they find that kingdom? Did they have to give up something? What did they gain? If you could pay all your money in order to have that kind of joy, would you do it? Have you found kingdom? Have you found great joy? For you, was it something you happened upon, or is it something you were searching for? There's a third parable we're referencing this morning, the parable of the net. And it's not a cast net. It's not a little tiny. It's a drag net where they had two boats and they put the net down and they just essentially grabbed everything that they could catch. So they probably caught rocks and bushes and every kind of fish, whether you want to eat it or not. That's that kind of net, a drag net. And it's kind of like the parable of the weeds, where you just let the weeds and the good seed grow, and then you take care of it at the end. The final words are the same in each of those, this gnashing of teeth. God will take care of it. Sometimes we get caught up in the gnashing of teeth part of it because our fear breaks into our conversation, our mind, and our heart. But I think the important part of the parable, are you ready? Is God decides. God decides. Quit worrying. God decides. The kingdom of God grabs everybody and everything, and God decides. The kingdom of heaven is this revolutionary thing. This is the kind of rebellion that made Rome very, very nervous, and maybe is the kind of thing that gets a Messiah killed. Today, these three parables are telling us something about the kingdom, about the reign of God. Two of the keys about the kingdom are joy and value. It is of incredible value. And it is something that will bring us an amazing joy. The third parable about the net hints that we are all in the harvest. And then God decides who to keep, who to toss back. It's God's choice. I kept trying to think of what today fits this treasure hunt mentality. I don't do a lot of treasure hunting. Do you do a lot of treasure hunting? Anybody put when they go to the beach, they leave their socks on and their flip flops, and they do this with a little thing on that beeps when they run over some kind of gold coin. I don't know that. I mean, some folks are still treasure hunters, but it doesn't strike me as a common experience for most of us. Maybe, do you know who Mel Fisher is? All right. A few of you have lived in Florida long enough. Mel Fisher is the person who kept looking for the Spanish shipwrecks and was looking for gold and found a few. I want to be real clear that when we're talking about finding something of great value, we are not talking about winning lotto. Trading money for money is not what I'm talking about. It may bring you some momentary joy and happiness, but that's not the kind of treasure we're looking for. My guess is that for all of us and for us as an organization and for all the different countries in the world and all the different times of cultures in the world, that it's the kingdom of heaven is uniquely different. For you, the kingdom of heaven might be feeling the sense of forgiveness. It might be a sense of grace. Where, if you were to search, if I gave you the right equipment and sent you off on a search right now, where would you go looking for joy? Where would you go to look for joy? This kind of joy is that Christmas joy and Easter joy, and if we aren't living in that joy, then we're missing part of the point of Christmas and Easter. It's kind of like that joy of our favorite teams winning every championship possible. In one given year, our football and baseball and basketball teams all win. NASCAR team wins. We win the World Cup and the Ryder Cup and the America's Cup. What a great year. Did you notice they were all cups? Do you know why they're all cups? All those cups are trophies because of a chalice that was on the Last Supper's table. All of those trophies hearken us back to the real joy. Not something we need to be afraid of, but a cup that is forgiveness. I give myself away so that we can be whole again. Where is your exceeding great joy? Have you found it? I think that when we accept to the depth of our core when we accept the deep and amazing love of God. Complete, utter, unconditional grace and love and forgiveness. That all of a sudden that baby in a swaddling clothes and that empty tomb jump into our lives and they change the sense of joy we have. The kingdom is characterized by exceedingly great joy. And to be quite honest, we get in our own way when we worry about who's getting in and who's not getting in. Throw the net to everybody. Let God work it out. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's a place of miraculous abundance and overwhelming joy. So I want to invite you to trust your gut and seek joy. I wonder if the kingdom can be hinted at by the phrase joy-filled love. Maybe that's worth writing down. Joy-filled love. For me, I think the phrase that sums it up that makes me go straight to this deep place of abiding joy is the phrase, born of grace. Because there are times I have blown it so badly that my only hope was that little tiny thread that as I'm falling into the abyss, I have this little thread of grace that's strong enough to connect me back to God. I guess then the last thing I want to say to you is seek joy and leave the other part to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, as we continue our inward and outward journey and search for your plan, for your will, help us to remember that the kingdom is at hand. It is here and now. It is in this life. Allow us to, by happenstance or by searching, to find that true treasure, a life of joy in you. We love you. Keep pulling us towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.